on energy policy. So welcome to the Scott Hannon Show, Senator Jim Inhofe.
Well, is this the Ed Schaefer I know?
It is.
Well, Ed, it's been a lot of years since we've talked.
It has. Yeah. Glad to have you on the show.
Yeah, and you've been following what we've been doing. I know that you have a lot of interest in that. And let me just remind our listeners, I have had the opportunity to be on Scott's show several times, particularly way back when made the declaration that the idea that catastrophic global warming results from man-made anthropogenic gases, the greatest hoax ever perpetrated on the American people. Now, we have a second thing, now that cap and trade is dead, and I like to say that because I keep turning on and seeing John Kerry talk about it's still alive, but it isn't. However, the big thing that's going to happen now, Ed, is tomorrow the Harry Reid has agreed or has dictated, demanded that we have two votes on the Republican and the Democrat energy bill. It'll be side by side, and I will predict with confidence that neither one will get the 60 votes necessary to pass. But the idea is you have a Republican vote or bill and a Democrat bill. The Democrat bill, by and large, is just to make an effort to stop oil and gas production in America. The Republican bill is one that is going to make every attempt to become energy independent by producing our own resources here. And that's basically the difference in the two.
Well, Senator, a watered-down energy legislation was passed in the House. It's over in the Senate. Is this being just put in, for political skirmish so that, somewhere along the line, this is going to come up in campaigns that, oh, gee, Republicans are really awful. They voted against the environment. What's going on here?
I'd say it's 100% political, Ed. It's just, they know that they don't have the votes to pass it. They're going to try to make something sound good, and they're going to try to use the oil spill. Now, this is something that's bothered me ever since the oil spill took place, because you can remember, Ed, back 20 years ago when they did when they had the Exxon Valdez.
Yep. Yep.
At that time, I went up there, and the environmentalists were actually celebrating, because they were going to try to parlay that into stopping any kind of oil production in the North Slope. Well, in spite of the fact that it was a transportation accident, which means if they stopped it, it would enhance the exposure for another spill, mm-hmm. I find the same thing true in the Gulf. These people down there, and you can't identify who they are, but there's a lot of celebrating going on, saying don't quit worrying so much about what's happening to the environment, what's happening to the economy in the Gulf states. Let's just stop drilling. Well, the worst thing they can do for the economy in the Gulf states is to stop drilling. Let's keep in mind that this has been going on for a long time. This is a terrible spill. Hopefully, it's under control now, and the remedies will take place. But to have people use that tragedy for their own liberal agenda is what is coming out in the legislation that they have. So just real briefly, on the Democrat bill, they have unlimited liability caps. Now, I've gone to the floor several times when Menendez, a senator from New Jersey, has made the statement that we need to just have no limits on liability. Well, I agree in this rare case with Carol Browner that if you do that, you're only going to have the very largest companies able to drill, or actually the nationally owned companies such as China or Venezuela. And the job losses, the IHS Global Insight, which is very, very well thought of, they said that the Gulf region would lose 300,000 jobs by 2020 if they're able to not end the production. And then, of course, the major reason is that for every barrel of oil that we can't produce in America or offshore, that's another barrel that we have to import from either Venezuela or Middle East, people who really don't like us. So we have a bill that is... I think it's real good, has all the safeguards in it to ensure that we're going to be able to continue producing. And we have some great quotes, by the way, from some of the Democrats. Senator Begich from Alaska said, "The few reasonable people in my caucus on this issue, and they're not very many," and he's talking about his Democrat caucus, "they're not at all reasonable on this thing. They just want to shut down oil and gas." We had the same thing from Senator Landrieu. She said, I wish that somebody would focus on helping the Gulf Coast instead of their focus on destroying an industry and not caring about the consequences of unlimited caps. So that's what unlimited caps would do. And I've said this on the floor of the Senate many times, that if you have unlimited caps, all you're doing is saying that the independents can no longer produce and explore in the Gulf. Already, Ed, we are seeing our platforms going to places in Africa and elsewhere in the world because they can't sit here and keep sustain them until the moratorium is lifted. Now, on the other side, you have the Democrat bill, which is that they have a moratorium that is in place. They want to leave it in place. They're also talking about the regulation of a procedure called hydraulic fracturing. Hydraulic fracturing is something that's been used. In fact, it was first used in Oklahoma 60 years ago. And there has not been one case of groundwater contamination in 60 years. And yet the far-left environmentalists who are spending all the money in the Democrat campaigns are the ones that say, we want to have federal regulation of hydraulic fracturing. Well, what they really want to do is stop it.
Yeah.
And you cannot develop in these tight formations without hydraulic fracturing.
You know, the state of North Dakota has the best economy in the United States of America today, the lowest unemployment rate. It's all being driven by energy and horizontal drilling, in which you use the fracturing of the oil shale out there with a water fracture or water fracking. North Dakota's alive today, you know, because of that technology that's been brought in. And, you know, the attempts of the federal government to shut it down is just beyond me. What's the deal with this, Senator? I mean, are they just willing to let us live in the dark and have runny noses and wear nifty sweaters or what?
Well, you know, a better way to ask that question, I think, Ed, and I've asked it so many times, is, you know, if you don't like oil and you don't like gas and you don't like coal and you don't like nuclear, how do you run this machine called America? Now, the far-left environmentalists, they won't say it, but what they're thinking is, well, we don't want this machine to run.
Yeah.
And that's the basic difference. And by the way, in North Dakota, Senator Dorgan, he happened to come in while I was making a very long speech on hydraulic fracturing on the Senate floor. And when it was, I don't have the quote here, but after it was, I finished with that, he said he wholeheartedly agreed with everything I said and that we have to have that. There's no way that we can get in these formations and there's no way we can be competitive without it. We have, Ed, we have enough natural gas using this procedure that they now have come up with the figures. We could run America for 100 years on our own natural gas and not import any from any place else. That's how serious this is. But the far left environmentalists, this is going to come back and haunt them. We'll be talking about this.
You're listening to the Scott Hennin Show this morning, and we're talking to Senator Jim Inhofe, Republican from Oklahoma, who is the ranking Republican on the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee. Senator, you know, you mentioned Carol Browner. I mean, Carol Browner, when we were, you know, in the governor's office here in North Dakota in the 90s, Carol was the EPA administrator for President Clinton.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, she was out here then trying to shut us down on things. Now she's a special czar of environment in the White House at the president's right hand.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, this lady doesn't care. I mean,
doesn't care. The main problem I have with her when she came in was at least she had to go through confirmation back when she was the administrator of the EPA under Clinton. At that time, I was on the environment. I was chairman of the Environment and Public Works Committee,
mm-hmm.
and we had to fight all the time. Then, when she came back as a czar, you can be sure that, you know, I like Lisa Jackson, the new director. She and I have a very honest relationship, but still, the one who's running the show is Carol Browner. Mm-hmm. Now, she admits that if we do what they're talking about doing in the Democrat bill, that it's going to leave any drilling up to either national organizations or BP. So it's, you might say that is the bill for big oil, because the big oil is the only one that can survive this thing. By the way, I found what Byron Dorgan said when he about me, he said, my colleague was speaking as I came to the chamber floor, and I agree with most all of what he's describing with respect to hydraulic fracturing. Then he goes on and talks about how serious this is and how destructive this would be to the economy, not just of North Dakota, but of the entire nation, if we shut the spigot on natural gas. And that's what we'd be doing if we have federal regulation of hydraulic fracturing.
Yeah, and it would just be a mistake. I have to tell you, Lynn Helms, who is the head of the Oil and Gas Division of the Industrial Commission in the state of North Dakota, is one of the leading national experts on water and its relationship to fracking. And, you know, to remove the responsibility from a state on this issue and put it into some bureaucrat cubicle in Washington, D.C. would be a huge mistake, because those that are right there on the top of it, dealing with the water issues, dealing with the drilling issues every day right in front of their faces, those are the ones that are going to best manage it. And why would you take it away from them?
Well, there's one thing we haven't, you know, that's exactly the thing to bring up, but also that we commissioned a study by the Groundwater Research Laboratory to determine any kind of a change or any kind of anything other than the fact that we've never had any contamination in all these years, in 60 years. But this study is right, we're right in the middle of it now. It's an $11 million study by the EPA's Groundwater Research Lab. And at least we ought to wait till that study is over before they come up with their own conclusions. I think one of the reasons they want to do it now is, number one, they have more votes today because they know they're going to lose a huge number of seats in the United States Senate in the November election. And number two, they don't want to see the results of this, because the results, I'm sure, are going to say that it's not something that will contaminate water, as your expert, I'm sure, will agree. So that those are the two reasons that they're doing this, Ed.
Yeah, and you know, Congressman Earl Pomeroy from North Dakota, the House has passed this spill bill legislation, and the Congressman Pomeroy said there's no regulations of fracking in that spill bill. Is he wrong? I mean, you know,
the House bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's not. They don't regulate the fracking in the House bill. That's why they're so desperate to get it in the Senate bill. So when they go into conference, they'll be able to, you know, mm-hmm. have it survive. Mm-hmm. If we don't have it in the Senate bill, then any burdensome regulation is going to die.
Mm-hmm. And what about, is this going to come up in the lame duck session? I mean, are you going to do
well?
The
you know,
are you, gonna...
you and I have looked at politics for a long time. I just think they're wrong. Right now, they're desperate because they know that all these initiatives of the president and of the majority in the House and the Senate, and let's just concentrate on the Senate, is something that's destructive to America. And these are things that more and more Democrats are now saying, wait a minute, I'm going to lose my race. And then the people coming up in 2012 are concerned about it. So if their strategy is to go ahead and pass some kind of an energy bill, throw it to conference, and then not do anything until the lame duck session, I don't believe that all those Democrats who are going to lose their jobs are going to come back and support the very issues that caused them to lose their jobs. That's my feeling, and no one else has talked about that, but that's why I think there's a major flaw in the strategy of the Democrats.
Yeah, agreed. Doesn't mean they're not going to try it.
Well, you're right, Ed. They're going to beat that drum. And, of course, you've got a president, President Obama, who's very persuasive. And he thinks that, you know, he's never lost an argument. So he thinks he can talk America back out of that thing.
We've got about 30 seconds left. Quickly, EPA regulating dust?
Oh, that's a farm. See, that's even worse. You're talking to the right guy here from Oklahoma. We have a windy state out there in western Oklahoma. There's dust. Let's face it. Dust has always been there. But we're heavy, and our production is very, very heavy. And if they have a regulation where they have, I think it's PM10, it refers to the dust, that would make one more layer of bureaucrats over every farm in my state of Oklahoma, and we're not going to let that happen.
Good, because that would be a huge mistake. North Dakota's the same way. We've got a lot of gravel roads, a lot of farm-to-market places. You know, you're going to have dust.
Yep, that's there.
Thank you, Senator
Thank
Jim
you,
Imhoff.
Nice talking to you.
Appreciate you being on the Scott Hennin Show. Come back. We'll want to talk to you about some more issues.